Right, we're back for Counterpoints. And you know what? I've teased this on pretty much the last five episodes or something. The real problem with the off-season is everyone just talks about the roster moves. Everyone talks about that new map coming in. Will Valve do the VRS? Everyone has the same conversations on every single show. And even though, look, I'm certainly happy to jump into that pool, get my feet wet and splash around like everyone else, I also do think, and it's why I actually told you I made this podcast, it's why I made it with the guy before and then I made it with you now, I specifically wanted the other person, I wanted it to be one analyst and me, and as a result, 1 hour show to make it really easy to schedule, because basically that just means if you have an hour in your week you can do, then the show can happen each week. It's a regular show, and then the third detail, this will blow your mind, guys, because even your beloved Cork Encounter doesn't do this. And I actually wanted to talk about the fucking matches! I want to actually talk about some of the things that, like, not just, you know, is he better than Donk? Oh, but will Vitality win the next? I want to actually, how did Vitality play? Well, yeah, what, how are they doing on that new map? What's going on with this new player who's joined? And these are the things we need to talk about. So good news is, we're slap bang in the middle of IEM Krakow. Obviously, we just finished the playing in the group stage, and now we're going to go to the playoffs, which, assuming it's anything like Katowice and Cologne, is going to be dope. It's going to be one of the first really big tournaments of the year with the big arena and all that jazz. If you even look at the teams, certainly there's a name or two missing, but there's no bombs in there. In general, those are some of the best teams in CS. So this is the best time to just do what this show is intended for and talk about some CS, pimp. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Okay. I want to start here. There's a team that is in the playoffs now, because in theory, we need to start with something spicy, mate. Where even though they're in the playoffs, like I have to give it to them. Yeah, they're in the playoffs. And, you know, you look at their tournament path. All of a sudden, now once you know the playoffs, it's not that bad. But I'm going to start with this team first, because do you know what? Even though this team is in the playoffs, bro, and as soon as I say the following, you'll know exactly what I mean. They've just beaten Falcons, one of the best teams in the world. So I should be like hyped, like, hey, fucking hell, Dark Horse chance. Mate, even though Mouse is in the playoffs, I want to flame the fuck out of Mouse. Because, okay, bro, here's why. Right, let's look at who they beat. So they beat NRG, right? NRG's not even supposed to be in this tournament. Fair play to NRG and Nitro for even getting that far. That's ridiculous. They lost to Aurora. At the time, that looked bad because we're all thinking, is Aurora even going to be any good? Actually, Aurora's been one of the best teams at this tournament. They've been like they're probably like a top three team at this tournament so far. They played pretty fucking lights out CS. They even played decently against Vitality. Then in the lower bracket, you beat FaZe Clan, who, by the way, they're just frauds walking, mate. They could have lost to BC Game. That's not even a troll. Like, that could actually have happened. And they got beaten quite heavily by 3D Max. And yes, I know Twist didn't have his mouse. Mate, everyone else in the server had their mouse plugged in with their config. You know what I mean? So, and then lastly, you played Falcons. And first of all, that was a fucking insanely close series. And aren't we all, every tournament, laughing at Falcons, right? Screenshot meta, as I always say, screenshot of the impossible round to lose. Wow, one of the stars didn't turn up on this map. What the fuck's going on with Zonic and the time? Like, the problem is when I get through all this, Pip, when I just run it down like that, yeah, you're in the playoffs, congrats. By the way, you might even beat G2. You're probably a better team than them. So you might even be in the semi-finals of Krakow. Am I hating Pimp? Is there an upside? Am I missing something? Are Mouse actually good? Are they secretly actually doing something legit? Do you think they're going to be good in this sense? Where are you at on Mouse? Because as you say, I'm setting the table. I'm a hater. I'm sorry. I'm so out on that team. I've seen the roster play a million games. I'll save it. But essentially, I already think I know what's going to happen in the playoffs. But you tell me what you think. What do you think of Mouse right now?
I get where you're coming from. But I do think, I don't know. I'm also biased to agree with the sense that I'm growing tired of Mouse. I'm growing tired of repeating the same story over and over. The fact that, as you said, you know, they may even get into the semifinal at Krakow, but they haven't really been looking great. And that's been the story for a long, long time, even the last 6 months of last year, where they consistently got into playoff, but they never really played good Counter-Strike. I think pretty much since Austin, actually, it's been a bit lukewarm. So I get why you're fatigued of Mouse, and you're fatigued of that story, and you're fatigued of the same roster, no roster changes, no nothing. But I think here in Krakow, it's pretty much following the script, you know. There's definitely a case to be made that when you look at the way into the quarterfinal, yes, they've beaten, you know, subpar teams, and yes, they could have lost to Falcons and so forth and so forth. Beating FaZe seems to be something everyone should be doing at the moment, but they did beat them quite convincingly, and I also do think beat a Falcons who played a competitive game of Counter-Strike.
Absolutely.
So, if anything, I think my angle here, and this is probably a bit of copium, normally Mouse would dominate in group stage. Normally, they'd Like, they'd give you the sense of feeling that, oh, they're coming into the playoff, maybe straight into the semifinal because they won the group, and then we expect them to do well, and we expect them to maybe win a trophy finally, and that's when we get disappointed. Now I feel like they've already, you know, they've just been lukewarm. They've been doing okay. They get into the quarterfinal, as you said. Maybe you're not too impressed with how they played, but maybe that's the change of scenery that they need and we need, because now I agree with you. They're coming into the playoff, but no one really expects them to win the tournament. Like, even if they get into the semifinal after beating G2, then no one expects them to win, whereas I think we had a lot of tournaments, especially last year as well, where you'd kind of expect they'd win their semifinal and then maybe finally win a fucking trophy. So I think my angle, and that's probably half copium, is that, okay, now they didn't look too superior in the group stage. It is their first tournament of the season as well. They didn't play at Blast, so maybe a little bit rust, etc. But if it means that them getting into the playoff, you know, in a bit more lukewarm sense, relieve some of the pressure and maybe makes them play better and live up to some of the expectations that they, I guess, continue to fail to do last year, then I'm all for it. So I'm not there yet, you know. I'm not on the hate train just yet. I want to see how they do against G2. I want to see how they do in a potential semifinal. But it's a very slim line they're walking right now, in the sense that if they lose to G2, then I'm ready to be on your train straight away, because then I'm just, you know, there's no copium. Then I'm thinking, why the fuck didn't you change? Why didn't you change something within that roster? Why do you keep the same roster, you know, and expect it to all of a sudden work out when you've seen, you know, 6, 7, 8 tournaments in a row that you're never going to win a trophy with that roster? And then again, is that then a conversation of you're okay with never winning a trophy? You're okay with being a top five team? Or is there not, you know, desire to do more before some of your players will eventually get poked and get poached to join other teams because they're tired of that winning stuff? So I feel like we're in that, you know, period right now where Maus is having... They have Krakow to convince me, and maybe one more tournament, let that be Blast Open or one of the ESL events, one of the IEMs, and that's it. You know, if they don't do well, if they don't change the way they look on the server, if they haven't changed, I don't think like the way they play as well. It's not like I see a big change in terms of how they set up and how they conduct things. Sure, there's been certain updates to the playbook, etc., but I don't think they've changed drastically enough for me to be like, okay, now I can buy into this, and now I want to give them another couple of tournaments. So I'm almost there with you, but not quite yet. Let's put it that way.
Because here's my problem is, I do think you've already seen the zenith, the peak of Maus, and it isn't now, unfortunately. Like, if anything, look, I'll tell you the one thing that shows how well GM'd and well coached the team is, in my opinion, which is the floor of the team is still very impressive, actually. Like, I even thought maybe this would be the tournament where FaZe just randomly beats them, you know, even in the groups there. Or Falcons, I obviously had Falcons beating them on paper, etc. So to win these games on some level, I give you a bit of credit. But as I say, the problem I have now is, I think in the playoffs, it's not going to be a good story. Like, I'll give you the reasons why. So obviously, they've already played Krakow. They actually chose not to play at Blast. Like I said, they didn't even play the online portion. They chose not to play at all. So they've actually, despite playing all these series here, they've only played 4 maps. But here's the problem. Of the 4 maps they've played, 2 of them they've played collectively 6 times. So like 3 times each. Of the 4 maps they've played, the 2 that are the least played, they've only played twice. And those 2 wins were against FaZe and NRG. So basically, I don't know how good they are on 2 maps, but that's just 2 in Inferno right now, which are like the most played maps of everyone, right? And so one, already, I have no idea if they've actually got a good map pool. Because if people don't know, they're one of the teams that actually got hit by the train removal. Well, they were specializing at the end of last season on Inferno train overpass. So what they were going into basically is almost every team out there actually doesn't like one of train and overpass. So whichever you don't like, basically, you can take that out, but then we're going to go into the other one. And that was quite effective for them, actually. Allowed them to get a good matchup against every team in the scene, basically. So the map pool might just be way dodgy. Like, I think then you will not see them on the Anubis. It's just going to force them back to ancient at this point in time. Then also in the playoffs, even though actually on paper, I think they should beat G2. I think G2 also is a bit rocky and has their own issues. And actually is a somewhat similarly composed squad with good players, no superstar, well cut, you know, similar. At the same time, though, by the way, they also could actually lose to G2, as ridiculous as that might sound like. So they could even not. But even if they win it, bro, they've got the worst possible semi-final coming up for them, which is Vitality, who again, sorry guys, that was actually like 6 months ago now that they were beating Vitality and that they were this. That was at their peak as well. This isn't that Maus. Vitality, on the other hand, by the way, is, as the Americans say, putting belt to ass. Like, they are fucking wrecking people right now, mate. Like, so I actually think they get destroyed. And you know what? I'll even do the same analysis from when they made their peak. Remember after the major where they did get their revenge and they beat Vitality and then just got their ass beat in the final. So even if they somehow pull out the most epic game, make me just eat all my words, and they beat Vitality with what looks like, again, peaking Ziwu, bro, I don't want to see this team in a massive LAN best of 5 stage final. Like, that just historically has never worked. And if, and I assume when they get there now, The joke would be they're going to play any of these three teams. They're going to play either Spirit. I mean, I think Spirit, as we've seen in past matches, they would also destroy them and wouldn't have the same mental problems. Aurora's the team that already beat them at this tournament. Not that I think Aurora's getting there. And then the last one, who actually hasn't played well, but fair play, they've been sort of pros about it, is Furia. And again, I think Furia also would get them. I just think they would. So I'm trying to normally I can do that thing where I'm optimistic or I find an angle. I can't find an angle where they win this tournament, Pimp. I can't see how it happens.
No, I don't think they're going to win either, but I disagree in the sense that I would love to see them in a best of five grand final right here, because I would love to get it confirmed one more time whether or not that's not for them.
Okay.
If they fuck it up one more time, then I agree. You know, if they, as you said, if they somehow beat G2, that's realistic. I'd say they are the favorites in that game. I agree with that. If they then somehow, some way beat Vitality in the semifinal and get into the grand final, then a bit of that hype is back. And then if they then once more fail in a best of five grand final, they lose 3-0 to whoever comes from the other side of the bracket, whether that being Furious Spirit, whatever, Aurora for that matter, then I agree. Then we just get confirmation, one more time that it's not for them. You know, and if anything, then we know that early in the season, we don't have to play this game that maybe if they make the final, or maybe if they do well here at the major, or maybe if they come into Cologne, you know, a bit of a home field advantage, yada, 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 which, by the way, wasn't the case last year whatsoever, then I think it'd be better for me, at least, for my selfish perspective, to put it to bed now. So I don't mind if they make that run. You know, I don't mind here in the early stages, even though Krakow is obviously a big tournament. But then again, it's the first year we're here. It's not like that legacy is fully built up yet. So again, I don't mind it if we have a bit of a spicy one in that regard, and whether or not Mouse is going to make the grand final. On the other hand, you know, if they do win the tournament, then I think that opens up for a conversation where, okay,
absolutely,
maybe there's something to it, because I agree with you, and I think that's where. That's where the analysis part comes into it. I don't think the team, and I also think it's tough for them to change much, but I don't think the team is that strong in its sense, but I think it's probably the best coach team.
I think so too,
best
mate.
Coach team in the world.
It's very good.
I think what they're getting out of the players, what they're getting out of that, you know, system, what they're getting out of putting the youngsters into the team, how they develop Chorsi, how they develop Exertion, how Cyclone has come in and firmly, I think, has established himself as a tier one coach, and definitely a coach that a lot of other organizations right now would pick up in a heartbeat if they could. I think it's a very, very strong candidate to be the best managed teams out there. Because again, I just want to revert to the point, and I know fans are having a tough time dealing with that. Just because you don't win stuff, just because you don't win trophies, doesn't mean you're not doing a good job. And if anyone told anyone in the beginning of last year that Mouse consistently would be a top three, even at times the clear second best team in the world, people would laugh in your fucking face with Golan as an in-game leader. So they've done a tremendous job. It's just, can they take that extra step? So I'm not fully over believing that Mouse maybe have another step in them somehow, some way. I do think it requires personal change, to be honest. I do think there's certain players within that team or maybe sometimes just the fresh of breath air that needs, you know, to be conducted. Again, my dream scenario, if you just, you know, play fucking Counter-Strike Manager and pretend to the Football Manager, give Kerrigan that lineup, you know. Yeah. No offense to Brolin, but get Kerrigan that lineup and I'm sure they will win trophies. Yes. I'm sure they'll win something. So if that's the potential and if that's how I evaluate the other four players, then I'm not ready to give up on Mouse, you know. But I will say that it's just getting annoying, you know, because it's the same thing that's happening to Falcons, which I'm sure we're going to discuss
absolutely,
later.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It gets boring, you know. They keep getting second. They keep going and now even not making the playoff. Like it's just getting to a point where you stop believing and you can't really put a finger on what the fuck is the issue, right? And I feel that's the issue with Mouse. It's not like there's a clear bad guy. It's not like you have that one guy who's always underperforming, always crumbles in the final. You know, sometimes it's Exertion, sometimes it's Torshi, sometimes it's Spinks. You know, you'd argue that Brolin could probably provide more, but there's no clear obvious flaw in their lineup. If anyone, I'd say Jimfat. I still think that's, you know, meant in the best possible
way. And the joke
way.
Is even he had the carry series against FaZe, so even he had a decent one this one, mate. So
exactly.
Yeah,
but overall, I think Jimfat is underperforming. Yeah, I think he's better than he's right now doing in Mouse, and I think for him personally, he probably needs to change team or change role in order to get more out of himself. So it's that, you know, loopless, endless conversation of a good team doing good results, having an incredible high floor, as you said as well, but you can't really put a finger on the one thing you want to change in order for them to take the next step. And that makes it frustrating to follow them, you know, seeing them fail over and over and over again. So I'm not against them doing well here, just to change that storyline, to be honest.
Since we always use football references on this show, I will agree. I think Cyclone is the, you know, fucking what, Unai Emery of fucking CS then. Because if people don't know, Aston Villa's clearly not that good a squad, but that guy's just a wizard. I don't know how he does it, man. He always just has his teams in good position. And then, to a fan, they'd go, where are all the trophies? And, but it's the same story. Basically, that's my problem with Mouse, basically, is we have that saying in English, jack of all trades, master of none. They're not bad at any single thing, bro. They're good at every single thing in CS, but they're not excellent at a single thing in CS. And so actually, unfortunately, even though I agree, you look at it and you go, why don't they win? In a way, they're actually consistent. It's very logical that they don't win. Like, I mean, if you even look at the series they played here, so against FaZe, they showed that if you don't actually bring enough fragging, they'll just out-frag you. They've got pretty good baseline skill level. When they were against Falcons, they've got better team play, and they're actually a better sort of like squad at playing with each other than a team like Falcons that has more firepower. When they're against, who the fuck was the other one I'm thinking of now? What was the other match? And when they're against Aurora, they don't have the craziest fragger, so they can get out fragged too. So the joke is, this is why I think they're good. They can essentially match up with every opponent in CS, but there are 3 to 5 that either will or should beat them each time. In fact, that's even why the analogy to an Aston Villa is reasonable. No matter how good you are, you're not going to win the Premier League, though. Like, that would be insane. Like, actually, it's already really good to be fifth or something like that. Like, that's, you're kind of smurfing.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I think the Unai Emery reference is great. I'd even go as far as saying, you know, a guy like Antonio Conte as well.
That's a good one.
He
obviously,
he wins trophies in league domestic play, you know, because you're playing, as you said, like in 80% of your games, you're playing teams beneath you, right?
Yes.
And he's very good at setting up his teams to win teams that is beneath him. But his European track record is one of the worst of any top coach ever. Yep. Like, he's never made it in the Champions League. He's never made it in any cup scenario. He's never made any, you know, big splash in any of the big domestic cups, nor of the Champions League or the European League, and that's his flaw. And I think, I don't know if that's a storyline I want to write with right now for Cyclone, because I don't know how much that is on him or how much that is on the player material he has to work with. Because, you know, we're doing Emery as well. You can only do so much with Aston Villa, you know, in a sense. And I think Cyclone can only do as much as he's provided by the players. But it's the notion that once you get to the semi-final, once you get to the grand final, once you get to that, you know, trophy winning game, that's when they crumble a little bit. That's when they can't really figure out, you know, how to outmaneuver the opponent, how to outskill the opponent, how to find their winning ways, you know, because that's the beautiful thing about, you know, football and Counter-Strike for that matter. You don't need to have the best players on the server in order to win.
Yes.
You don't need to have the biggest star on the server in order to win. Same in football. Like, you don't need to have the Cristiano Ronaldo, the Messi, etc. You just need to find your way to win. You need to figure out, how do I ruin the opposition's gameplay? How do I make sure that I stack up against whatever opponent I'm on any given map in Counter-Strike, and I make sure that I'm at least on par or on level with them, so I have a chance to win. And whether that is by ruining the other team's play, whether that's by dragging out the tempo, whether that's by playing hyper, I don't give a fuck, you know, as long as you find your way to win. And I think that's sort of like the last step I want to see from Cyclone, that he's able to win with a team that is maybe a little bit beneath, you know, the Vitalities, the Spirit, the Falcons of the world in terms of player material. Because if he can do that, then what's the case, you know, against him being maybe the best coach in the world, or against him being a blade elite level coach? And I think that's the final step, and that's where Mouse still excites me. And it may sound a bit rough, you know, but it's, I almost feel like their strongest asset is their coach right now. And that's not to speak ill of their players, but, you know, same could be said for Na'Vi. I think the strongest asset Na'Vi have right now is the coach, you know, and that's just the way it goes for some teams that is not necessarily too flashy, too spicy, or getting the results or getting the trophies that you'd like to see.
Put it this way, what you were just describing there is, I actually think, the most concise explanation of why I was way more excited to watch the Mongols with Senzu than I was to watch Mouse. Because I just actually know that Mouse is going to lose these finals and semis, whereas actually, even though Mongols isn't as good a fundamental team, I don't think they have as good players, mate. They had that one style and they fucking stuck to it. And if they got a team on the right day, they could win the fucking... They did win a tournament, a massive tournament. By the way, let's pivot, because another team, but the joke is, this team has got indexed in a one quality. It's just they do it the most extreme way ever. Well, let's talk about Falcons, because here's the difference, Pimp. I will totally admit this as well. The other reason I have given up on Mouse, just being too long, mate. I've seen too many tournaments. I've seen, what, 15 tournaments now with this lineup. It just doesn't work for them. The reason I have given up on Mouse, but I haven't given up on Falcons, is as follows. Because Mouse is also auraless, and even their players, with the exception of, you know, a sick T-side exertion game and a nice Yimfat clutch and a Torsi flick shot, with the exception of the odd moments, they don't really ever make me like believe when I'm watching, like, oh shit, this could be the best team. The problem is, As long as Monacy has a 3K with the AWP and Nico does two insane entries and Kiyosuke just gets like a 3K and looks like a top pro, they trick me every time, bro. Every time I see a Monacy like fucking take over the round with an AWP, I'm like, you know what? These bitches can't do shit against my boy. Come on. And then I just think he's going to be the MVP. They're going to win the top. And then the joke is, sometimes they even lose that game I'm watching. Like, and so at this point in time, you know what? All the haters out there, you're not right in terms of why you were hating, but if you were saying Falcons can't do it, even though I'll still watch and I'll still hope they do, you were right. You're not, you didn't get the reasons right, but you were intuitively, you were right. Because I will say this project, mate, we're going to have to drill down on this one. This project, unfortunately, has failed with this roster. Like, listen, you're not going to change players right now. And also, you've got such a good set of players. You are going to try this season, and you're going to try and see if you can somehow fuck around a win tournament. You're still going to have a chance to win. All the good things are right there. But the problem is, if you look at this roster, I think it's one of the most bizarre ones ever, because when I look at the skill of the roster and I look at the peak of the roster, it should be like actually one of the best teams in CS2 ever. Like it has the potential to be like a legendary team that, you know, tears through a tournament and destroys opponents, even really good ones. Remember last season, they could basically beat every team. Like, it was insane. Yep. But the reason why they don't win tournaments also sort of makes sense. Like, it is insane how low the floor of this team in terms of fundamentals is, mate. Like, at this point, the screenshot meta, I thought people were just over it. They're right. Every fucking tournament, there's an insane 2v(x) loss or, no, 5v3 loss or fucking, or you're up in a scenario where any normal team would just close the game out and you bleed out rounds and where do you start on this? Like, what are the biggest areas that we're looking at here? What stops Falcons actually being good, mate?
I hate to say it, right, because I agree. I think I haven't lost faith in Falcons, and the reason being, you know, they will find a way to make that work eventually, because there's no world where that's not going to work out. You know, they'll sign another player. They'll sign another
player. Yeah, of course. Whether that's going to be lineup I'm out on, mate. Like, I'm sort of ready for the next player already, you know.
I agree. I said it during the player break, and I didn't like saying it, because last year I was saying, you know, plenty of times.
Yeah.
I think Tessus is the best Danish player, or at least for a period he was the best Danish player. I think when Kiyosuke joined and when Tessus was moved into his new role, you fucked up that lineup completely. I think, and this may be a bit of a hot take, I think Falcons would have done better without Kiyosuke if you kept Tessus in the same position as before. Now, when you
had, or if you just kept Magus instead of Tessus even, and I don't even think Magus is better now. He just would have fit the role, mate. That also would probably have worked.
I think that would have made them slightly better, but I don't think that would have fixed the issues, you know.
Right.
I think the hot take would be that Falcons would have been a better team without Kiyosuke, but signing Kiyosuke when you had the chance was definitely the right thing to do. But then you got to look at your lineup and see, okay, if we do this, if we sign Kiyosuke, then we need to make sure that the player we put in Tessa's position, which is the player that is a lot of the time by himself, get no resources, play some of the toughest roles in Counter-Strike, and I get why they thought Tessa's perhaps could transition into that, because he's hella skilled. He's a very good player, but he's just not cut for it. Like, that's not his play style. That's not what he's supposed to do. It's not working out. When you sign Kiyosuke, you should have actually gone all in and, you know, embraced the meme of signing one more superstar, because the only way this lineup was going to work out is if you had that player in that position who could do the job to a high degree without requiring any resources. So you're looking at your heavy guard, you're looking at your bit, you're looking at your gym fat. I don't know how much money that would have cost. I don't know if it was even remotely attainable or possible at the time, but I do know during this player break that I'm pretty goddamn sure that if Falcon wanted to, they could have signed one of those three players. Probably would have cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Probably would have been another huge L, you know, internally in the organization, that we didn't make this lineup, you know, work out. Probably would have added more pressure if you did that. But that is what's needed to fix this lineup. I think there's a world where you could transition Tessus into his old roles, where he did a good job in Falcons. He was one of the few players not crumbling in the grand finals. He was one of the few players winning maps for Falcons more often than not. But once you moved him into that position, you took one of your great players and you made him, I wouldn't say useless, but not performing well enough. If you look at Tessus' last six events for Falcons, it's just not good enough. Like, he's not doing what he's supposed to do in that role at a high enough degree. And I hate to say it, because I don't think that's on Tessus, but that's on the management of Falcons. They should have realized that would be an issue before they forced him into that position, before they lowered his stock value. Because I think Tessus could join a top 5 team in the world or a top 10 team in the world and be a great asset.
Bro, I'm not even trolling. This isn't supposed to be a hot take. I know people are going to see his stats are bad now, but I know if he's in the right role from Heroic and Falcons that he could be good. But I'd give you some teams that in theory are on the level of fucking Falcons that I would put him into. I'd take him tomorrow in a Na'Vi, a FaZe Clan. Like, he could walk into any of these teams and be good, mate.
Mouse. He could go into
absolutely.
Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And those are teams we expect to be in yes. the top five conversation. Agreed. You know, G2 for that matter as well. So I agree. But I think that's the fundamental issue that you did when you were Falcons. Like you didn't embrace it fully. Like you signed Kyusuke, you have Modesty, you have Nico, and then you kind of, I feel like when you're cheaping out, you know, like and then you bought the discount fucking ketchup. Instead of just buying the fucking Heinz ketchup bottle when you were making fries, sauces, yes. you name it, you yes. for some reason decided to go for the quality meat, you went for the quality fries, you went for all the quality yes. stuff, but you bought a discount ketchup for some reason because you weren't going to fully bag it up, you know? And I think that's the issue for Falcons. That's why I'm also, I agree, people were probably right saying that they're never going to win trophies. I don't think the reasoning was right because when you consistently get into semifinals or grand finals, when you consistently get second yeah. and when you're in those grand finals, probably should have won a couple of those, then saying that they're never going to win anything is just outrageous. Yes. That's stupid because they were so close doing it. But I agree, the more they lose now and even not making the playoff right here, I think the players themselves, they stop believing it's going to work out. And when that happens, then I fully agree with whatever the community may be saying in terms of them not winning anything. I also do believe that this lineup, this five-man roster is probably not going to make the results that I thought they would and I think they should. And I think, again, I hate to single out Tessis, but I feel like he's the one player in that position that is just not doing what he's supposed to do if you want to play that style of Counter-Strike. Yes. When you give freedom to Kyusuke, Modesty, Nico, then you need a player who's completely independent, yeah. and there's very few who can do that job. I'd say Heavyguard, Bit, and Jim Fett would be the three obvious players you slot into that position, and I think that immediately would make Falcons a team where I'm like, they're going to win five trophies this year, but they didn't do it, you know, and now I agree with you, I'm starting to lose faith in this particular lineup, and I hate the fact that I have to point out Tessis because I think he's one of the most unfairly treated players in that team overall.
Put it this way, I'll give another football analogy. Tessis is not the best winger in the world, but he's like a good Premier League top half of the table winger, and you're making him play a central defender, and then every time a goal goes in, you go, what the fuck are you doing? And then also at the same time, in this analogy, some games the strikers never score, and guess what? The winger that replaced him sometimes doesn't score, and you're like, what the fuck? If I'm Tessis, like, I actually think the joke is, look, I can't say it would be better for him to leave, because I imagine he gets a very nice salary in Falcons, but I actually think it would be better for all parties if he leaves. Like I said, I think as long as other people see what we see, he could instantly be picked up and be a pretty good player in a team that could be as good as Falcons or better, depending on what Falcons' move is. Let's go to some other people then, right? Here's the other problem, Pimp. I have defended Sonic for so long because I think when you're as great as he is, and I'm sick of people rewriting history, bro, they make it sound like all he did was have Astralis and win because he had Glaive and he had Vitality. He also did win a fucking major with Vitality, by the way. He won a major with Dupree, who was on his absolute last legs, which I even think itself is like a coach feat because he convinced Dupree at the end to play the more supportive role in the game and not be a star, even though he obviously joined Vitality to be a star, and in some ways that's a complicated thing. He did actually get Ziwu at the level where he's winning the playoff series. He did a whole bunch of things that were very good. Help Apex do his transitional IG, all these great things added to the Astralis period. So I've given him a lot of space in Falcons. Like, I'm one of the people, bro, who didn't blame him for most of 2024 because I know quite literally you built the whole team around Nico, and then quite literally 1 second before the pen touched the page, Nico went, actually, I won't do that. And you know what? I've actually teased this before. I'll just tell you straight up. Not only did Nico take his pen off the page last second at the end of 2023, but I heard that they came to him again in the middle of 2024 and they were like, you are joining now though, right? And he was like, yeah, I am. And then he went back to G2 and G2 was like, you can join me. You're not joining now. Like, you join at the end of the year, mate. And that's why G2 did the whole snacks pivot, because then it was like, look, we get one more season. And as far as I can tell, that second season for G2 was really like, they know Nico's gone, hence that dickhead G2 CEO making those stupid comments. By the way, he had no choice about keeping Nico. So instead, what he did is, the second season was like Operation Keep Modesty, and spoiler, that failed. So at the end of it all, right, for me, I only really like... True, all the results count, but I only count like he failed, because I don't think 2024 Roster could ever have won a tournament. I only count the real clock, like 2025 onwards, and then obviously when he got Modesty, at that point they all have to count me. At that point you have to try and win the tournament, etc. But at some point in time, like every manager, I always say this, you don't have to be a bad manager to lose. All the greatest managers ever. The joke is, the only reason Pep Guardiola hasn't failed is because he has had the unlimited money, the greatest players of all time, and all the best teams. Like, I've never seen actually a manager who's amazing play with on easier mode than this guy ever. Every other great manager had one or two seasons that were bad, or they had a team that didn't listen to them anymore, or didn't play the style they wanted. So it doesn't even mean Zonic's bad. But another problem I have is, if they do make that one more roster move, I'm sorry, after that, You have to just win or get the fuck out, Zonic. That's just how it is, yep. mate. Like, because I said it about this roster. I actually said what I thought was a very fair gamble when they signed Kiyosuke. Since I looked at the roles and I was like, shit, bro, this is even worse than the... What, you know, everyone was going, what if you have Donk and Kiyosuke? They can't coexist. If you actually go watch the demos, it would actually have made more sense to have Donk and Kiyosuke than just have Nico and Kiyosuke. Like, Kiyosuke does play like Nico. So I immediately knew there's no way they can both be peak level together. And then you didn't keep Magus or get an anchor lurker player. You got Tessus and just shoved him in those roles. So when I said, when you looked at the roster, because essentially the joke is, you have an aggressive AWPer and three aggressive riflers and then an IGL. So it's like, that isn't even a team, bro. Again, if this was football, you're playing like fucking 7-3-1, you know what I mean? Like, you don't even play the formation that exists, Pim. So what I said about Zonic when he signed Kiyosuke is, I agree with you. In isolation, you have to sign that player. That is Arsene Wenger and Ferguson trying to sign young Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, whoever gets him, one, even if he's not the best now, one day he will be the best. The whole team will be based around him. That allows you to let Nico be IGL or retire or anything, long as you have that player under contract. Here's the problem, though. When they signed him, I said, I have never seen, though, any variant of Counter-Strike that had a roster like this again. Like, the analogy would be 7-3-1. So I said, what you're going to have to do if you're Zonic is, you're either going to reinvent aggressive T-side Counter-Strike and do something we've never seen. And in which case, by the way, you will be a genius. You'll be like Johan Cruyff for this Barcelona team or something, you know, where like the joke was the quarterbacks were like actually playing like wingers and fucking going forwards and scoring, and he revolutionised the game briefly. Or this will be your biggest failure, mate. Everyone will look at the roster, isn't this what they're doing now, and go, look at all these stars, and you can't fucking win, and you'll just get, it'll be even worse, you'll get memed on even harder. So part of me feels like, if you're really the one making these decisions, eventually you will have to be fired for it. I'm sorry, like, you aren't on, here's the difference, you aren't on Mouse, you aren't on Na'Vi, mate. You haven't got that thing of like, you're clearly doing a good job, they won't give you the players. You're getting the players you want, you have to give the results eventually.
I agree. And I also do agree. Like, I've been defending Sonic for a long time as well. And I think there's been periods where he probably could have done more, should have done more. But I also always, say, you know, because I don't know the inner workings of Falcon. I don't know how much it's him pointing towards a player saying, I want this guy. And then Falcon's either backing him up or not. And I think when we evaluate, you know, coaches, whether that is in football or in Counter-Strike, we need to know for sure, you know, who has the final say. Like, if Sonic were to point on Heavyguard, like, and say, I want this guy, and Falcon said, no, we're not backing you up here, we're not giving you that player, then I can't really blame Sonic for that, you know, in a sense. But I do think, and that's my critique of either Falcons or Sonic, whether they would be open to discuss or tell us who actually has the final say.
Sure.
I think it's bad they didn't go all in, you know, because I think I even caught myself doing that on a desk segment in, fuck, was that last year sometime, where I was like, okay, now there's no excuses for Falcons not to win a trophy. You finally got the lineup you wanted.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself when I said that, but did you really? Like, Tessus, let's be honest, if you isolate Tessus, is he a top 5 player in that position? Is he a top 10 player in that position? Arguably, you know. So it's you didn't really go for the full roster. You didn't have the final, you know, super team that you wanted. So I can't even say that, you know. I can't use that against you, because I agree with you. And I think that's where I don't know, but I would love to ask Sonic, I would love to speak to him, you know, when all this Falcon shit is over in a couple of years and we see how it unfolds. At this very moment, did you not sign Heavyguard, Bit, Jim Fat? Did you not push enough for it because you were afraid that if you did it and if you finally got the full rosters, you ran out of excuses?
Because
I agree with you. If that happens, then there is no excuse whatsoever. Like, then it's done for. If that doesn't work out, the only guy you can point towards would be Sonic. And I know that players also have a bit of responsibility in that regard. But at the end of the day, you're the coach. You're setting your lineup. It's your job to motivate them to perform well. And if you're working with a player that is making your life miserable, well, then cut him. Then it's your job to cut him. Make sure you find someone else. If Sonic were to get that final piece, which I think is needed within Falcons, then he would run out of excuses. And I can't help to feel that maybe if I'm Sonic, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes, you know. He's talking a lot about pressure. I know as well that he feels the pressure. I know Sonic to be the most like kind-hearted guy in the world, maybe. You know, I really want him to succeed on a personal level because I think he's one of the nicest guys in the world. But I also, you know, do a living where I'm quite, you know, rough on the edges in terms of how I evaluate personnel when in Counter-Strike, and it's not a game of who's the nicest guy, you know. So at the end of the day, if you're not willing to risk it all and put everything on red right here to make it work, and you were the one, you know, maybe saying, nah, let's give Tessus just 3 more months, I think I can make it work, because you were a little bit afraid that if you did get that big signing, you knew you're going to run out of excuses. Because now he can come and say, okay, I didn't make Tessus work, I thought he had it in him, he didn't, let's get that player, and then he gets another round and another round. I'm starting to lose faith as well. So I'm like, I'm not ready to cut Sonic because I do think, as you said as well, history speaks for itself. I think he is slightly underrated by some, you know, in how much he's actually achieved. And to your Vitality point as well, yes, he made them win the major. And people, for some reason, forget that Vitality, the year leading up to the Paris major, were not a great team.
No.
They were like the fifth team, sixth best team in the world. They went out in quarterfinals. They didn't make all the playoffs. They would lose semifinals. And I had plenty of interviews when I covered Counter-Strike on Danish television, like saying, what's going on right here? Your big goal is to win the Paris major. We get that. But 7 months out, you're not even a top five team. Why is that your goal right now? Shouldn't you establish yourself as a good team? And they were very calm. They're saying, we're working on it. It's a process, yada, yada, yada. And personally, I was like, fuck it. That's bullshit. You know, I don't really believe in that project as of right now. But they made it work. And I think for that, he deserves a lot of credit, because I think that was well coached, you know, because as you said as well, wasn't the strongest team. Dupree wasn't on his peak. I think there were certain players one in that lineup who, as you said, Apex inexperienced in-game leader at the time being, etc., etc. That can't have been an easy job to make them the best in the world. So in that regard, I want to give him one more chance, but my big question mark and my big critique, if that is the case, I don't know, you cannot give yourself any more excuses. Sign the player that you believe will make you the best team in the world. And then if that is the end of your excuses, if that is the end of all being, then at least you gave it a shot. Because I'm like, even if he were to be fired right now, let's say that Falcons announced tomorrow that Sonic is out, we don't believe in his abilities anymore, and we're going to sign a new coach, and he's going to have that five-man roster, I would still be looking at that roster and be like, I don't care who you signed as a coach, that roster is not going to be the final formation of Falcons. I don't think that role-wise that makes sense. So to me, it's not on Sonic right now, unless it's him who didn't want to sign that extra player. To me, it's on Falcons. Fucking go all in at this point. You know, you already set up the field. You already acted like PSG. You already bought all. You bought Neymar. You bought fucking Messi. You bring in the last piece. You know, bring in the last guy as well. Bring in Mbappe, and then let's see what it actually looks like when you have all the pieces that you could possibly desire in this super team. Because right now you're a super team with an asterisk, and that's a boring story.
I'll also just say, because actually there are players and coaches who do this. If you're one of those coaches who gets offended, or you're like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, then fucking DM me, you idiot. If you actually tell me behind the scenes, tell or me. You tell Pimp, yeah. Oh, by the way, actually, I did literally try to get Heavy God and Bait. And then what happened was, right when I was about to sign him, Falcons was like, actually, we want to wait a split and see how this one does with Keisuke, and we don't want to like spend the money until after. Then if you know that, by the way, we will actually like, you. We won't say it on the broadcast. We will use it to inform ourselves. And actually, we will be able to like put it this way. I think if anyone's watched my content by now, if you're smart, you've figured out. People like Apex and Snappy tell me that stuff. That's why I always magically seem to know where their teams are, whether what their role of the players are, who's not doing that well. I can actually get that information from them. So as a result, I'm not an idiot. I use that if it makes sense and put it on my fucking content. But the problem with Falcons as well is, because as an org, they're so criticised, they're doing that thing where they're all bunkered in and you no information comes out. Yeah. So as a result, we can only speculate. And at the moment, when you leave a vacuum for speculation, people will speculate the worst, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I think that's a great point as well. I think that's the whole pressure that is mounting on them right now. They're becoming a little bit more close, because I agree, you know, in my past experience as well, I've had players, I've had coaches reach out and they've heard something I said on the desk, or they heard something I said on a podcast or whatnot, and they just wanted to clarify, and they, in goodwill, you know, they're telling me, this is actually how it's working out. And then I will take that information, I will use that information, and as you said, I'm never going to spill it out. I'm never going to say, well, this guy actually said that. This is what, like, I will then not make the point that I'm making right now, where I'm like, I don't know whether that's Falcons or Sonic, because no one has told me, no one has asked the question in an interview. You know, I would sometimes I wish, you know, and that's not a critique of anyone doing interviews, but sometimes I would love to do interviews. I would love to ask some of those questions.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if they don't want to answer and say no comment, that's an answer in itself. But I think if you word the question in a manner, you know, that actually opens up and, you know, gives us a chance to educate on both the community and everyone else, then if you decide not to comment on it, well, that's an answer in itself. And I think sometimes, at least I feel in Counter-Strike, we need a bit more cutting through questions. We need a bit more, you know, of those interviews to be what's actually going on right here, you know, or can you tell us about XYZ? And then if you decide we don't want to do that, that in itself is an answer, instead of it always being, you know, we only ask just to the limit, because we know that we don't want to offend your limit. And I know a lot of people are saying that the most important job for an interviewer is having a good relationship with whoever they interview. I don't think that's the case. I think you need to have the respect from the guy you're interviewing. I think if people respect whoever interviews you for what you do and your job and your craft, then they will open up if they have the desire to do so. They don't need to be your friend. You don't need to high-five them. You don't need to knuckle them. You don't need to hug them after every interview. You just need to have the respect. And if you gain that respect by actually asking valid questions, you know, formed in a way that is I guess, approachable in a sense, then I think a lot of players will open up and actually respect the craft of the work that is. And some players will also be douchebags and be like, why are you asking that question? I don't want to answer them. Like, it's my fucking job. It's not your job. Yes. You know? So I know that's a balance, and it's, I don't know why I went in this rant, you know, but it's, I think in general, we kind of need that, because we have great interviewers in Counter-Strike. We have the we have the base covered, let's put it that way, especially when we do pre-game interviews, et cetera, et cetera. But I want more of the surrounding stuff, and I want more in depth. I want more information. And I think we can get more if we played our cards better in that regard.
This is how legit I am, Pimp. I think at this point, my feelings have been made quite clear about this person. But I'll tell you what, that's actually the one area I miss Frankie Ward. She actually would ask the annoying journalist question and do stuff like, you'd go, well, she didn't have a good game. Well, no, that's not it, though. I want to know what was that. She'd actually ask those fucking questions. And I can tell you what, some players didn't mind it. Some players definitely didn't like it, I'll tell you right now. But I agree. The whole point, she wasn't there to be their mate or to just do a fan club interview. She was there to actually ask hard questions when someone just fucked up a game. Like, by the way, she would actually be the perfect person to ask literally these questions to Zonic and fucking Falcon and stuff. Okay, I'll tell you what, there's another team. We'll take a little bit of a breather now, because while we're going so intense on all these teams that don't win the tournaments and why don't they, etc., let's go to the other end of the equation. I want to get Pimp's take, because obviously you weren't on any desks here, so I haven't heard what your opinion is yet. What is Pimp's takeaways from the BC game roster? Because I notice, I understand Pimp, I have an incredible bias towards Simple. Now, because I'm Thorin, I would say that's because me and Simple have, because reality has a massive bias towards Simple. So I think actually, and I think I've been proven right a few times, this guy, the joke is, if he ever had wanted to be Nico and those stories back in the day, and be in the nightclub and then come and play the next day, he also could have still been 85% of what he was and fucking dominated the game. I know people know he used to have the greatest work ethic and super drive, which he hasn't shown in CS2, but I tell everyone, somehow everyone always underestimates how good he's going to be on LAN, bro. Like, the joke is, ESL made like a fucking 5-minute highlight video of him just at this tournament, where he went out way before even making it anywhere to the playoffs. Like, the guy just has like the it factor, mate. He's crazy. There's something about him that's nuts. So what is Pimp's take on BC game? I want the whole thing. Give me your perspective.
Like, I was about to say, are you asking me about Simple, or are you asking me about BC game?
I mean, they're sort of the same question in a way. So what's going on?
I don't give a fuck about BC game as a team, to be completely honest.
I have a
tough time seeing how that's going to play out and work out. And I think what happens right now is, was it you who described it as well? You know, we had Simple coming back in, played online Counter-Strike for 4 or 5 weeks, you know, dominated. I could be the best player in the world, online speaking, at least. And then when he found out that, oh, that team is not going to any big events, we're not having the major coming up, like, then he just zoned out. The same thing is going to happen right here.
Okay.
Like, Simple, he came into BC game, he knew that, okay, now we're signing a core, we're signing the fucking Saw core, and then we're getting to a couple of tournaments early on. If they don't do too well, and I think they did okay, you know, ESL, I'm not saying they did poorly, I think they did okay, but that's thanks to Simple primarily and not necessarily the team. I think the same thing is going to happen. Simple is going to get tired of playing well on a bad team. And then at some point, that motivation is going to lose out. If anything, I still see, and that's why, again, I would love to know what is the contractual situation with Simple in BC game. Like, did he sign some mega contract from this, they do gambling, right? Or whatever they do.
Casino, you know, something,
something like that. Casino, yeah. Like, did he sign like a massive big money contract for 3 years? So he's stuck in BC game regardless. And they promised him to buy good players and bring in good rosters, et cetera. Maybe that's the case. And then, you know, by all means, you know, stay there. But at the end of the day, from where I'm sitting right now, I see this as an audition for Simple to everyone else screaming in their fucking faces, I still got it. You know, I still got it. You want a good player? You want a player? Fucking Mouse. Like, what do Mouse need in order to win a trophy?
True.
Sign Simple. Like, get Simple on your fucking payroll.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the step up you need. Like, I think there's a few teams out there, even like Simple in G2 instead of Sun Payers. No face against him. But again, maybe that would be what takes G2 back to being an elite level team. I think right now what he's doing in BC game is screaming to the world, fucking sign me. Like, you had the opportunity before BC game did it. Probably didn't look too good in FaZe Clan. Probably didn't play as seriously as I should have. Obviously doesn't help him that he then zones out for BC games and starts to play more Dota than Counter-Strike. And there's definitely questions around his personality, his motivation, et cetera, et cetera. Those are never going to be neglected. But again, have an interview with him. Have a conversation with him. You know, ask him, you know, on a one hand, you know, call, what happened? Why did you do that? You know, get the explanation, get the surroundings, understand his line of thought, et cetera, et cetera. If Simple is still, as you said, if he's just 80% into the game, if he just has 80% of that own old will of becoming what Simple used to be in CSGO, he's still going to be a massive asset to a lot of teams. So I'm excited about Simple. I'm not excited about BC game as a team. I know. Okay. I don't want to, you know, beginning of the season as well, Blast wasn't really it, you know. And I think the next couple of tournaments we're going to see as well, it all depends on how well he's going to play, how well they do at the tournament. Them making stage two at Katowice, great. Didn't really anticipate that. Maybe they could have gone out. They didn't do much in stage two, let's be honest. They were nowhere near closing or beating Vitality. And if you lose to FaZe at the moment, I don't consider you to be a good team. So at the moment, Simple is exciting. I hope some teams, you know, get the SOS call. And then I'm curious to what the contractual situation is and the obligation from Simple to PC game. And if anything, then let's see if they can better the roster for the future being. Because we had that conversation as well. Like, do I believe Electronic is going to be a player for the future as well? Do I believe that he's all of a sudden going to come back and help Simple to, you know, get to the point where he's consistently at the big tournaments, et cetera, et cetera? I don't think so. Do I think the three Portuguese guys are going to do that? Not really. Are they okay? Sure. Murderous, been around forever, even said in an interview that he has to change everything he thinks about Counter-Strike. Well, fair play to you, mate. What you did and saw was way above expectations. Yeah. If you think in your age and with your experience and your general level of Counter-Strike the past 10 years is all of a sudden going to become a new player that's going to help Simple to become a top 8 team in the world, like, that'll be one of the most crazy transformations ever. So it's just not going to happen. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
No, by the way, the obvious thing about this tournament is it's mainly just about Simple still fucking good, isn't he? Just is still good in the game. Like, you can just see when he plays. Like, the joke is he almost beat fucking FaZe by himself. Like, that's how bad FaZe is now.
That's right. Yeah.
And obviously the lesser teams, Legacy and Nippy, did beat. He just went ham on them. The problem I have is it's basically how you nailed it, Pimp. I don't criticise Simple that much for, like, he's screaming at his teammates, bro. This was so tame compared to all Simple, mate. Like, people were getting that clip where he goes, like, why do you plant passive or something? Like, if that's fucking... Mate, that's about the most restrained Simple I've ever seen, mate. So you're not going to get better than that. I agree with you. The real problem I have with Simple isn't anything to do with BC game. It's the idea that, like, why does it have to be BC game law Simple? Like, I'll tell you right now, here's the one area where I actually... The joke is, I don't know if you know this, he himself actually prefers Messi out of Messi and Ronaldo. Even though it's like, bro, you're an idiot. You are Ronaldo, you fucking idiot. That's who you are. Zero is Messi and you are Ronaldo. I don't know how you don't get that because you think Messi's better, right? So the reason why I hate it, Pimp, is he has the exact same problem as Ronaldo. They've done the same thing. Ronaldo could probably also be on, like, you know, Spurs or something and actually have, like, a chance to do something in the Premier League and get into Europe and stuff. But instead, he plays for $1 billion for a Saudi team and fucking plays in a league no one gives a shit about and then tells them all, sign more bloody players. It's like, they're never going to actually have a really good teammate and you're not in the Champions League anyway. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're spinning your wheels. The real question is this, and I know the answer because it's the same with both of them, is... You're the one. It's actually you, Simple. It's you, Ronaldo, who won't accept you aren't who you were at your peak anymore. And as a result, you want all the conditions of your peak, and then you wonder why the best team in the world won't sign you. It's obvious, because at the moment, you're not at your peak. So I'll tell you what, when you hear that rumour about what his salary is, Pimp, that's what makes my heart drop. Like, the good news is this, BC Game apparently are willing to spend mad money. You maybe bring more players and gradually the team can get better. And maybe in the second season, they're really spicy and they can actually make the playoffs this summer. The problem is, though, the simplest solution, you just nailed it, is why are we bringing everything to Simple? Why don't we just put Simple on a great team, have him play all the lands? Wouldn't that solve everyone's problem except BC Game? So if people don't know, the problem Ronaldo has is he clearly does have that crazy ego because he was so good and he worked so hard of, like, I need a massive salary. I need to be the star player and then I need to have a say in how the team's run. Well, mate, they only give that to the absolute shit hot player when he's the absolute best. And at the moment, that isn't you. So if you're Simple, I'll tell you right now, the problem is if you go to Mouse, oh, you're not getting 150k, mate. You're probably going to be on 25k. You know what? Maybe they can break the bank if you do well at the next line. They can give you 30k. If you go to G2, listen, I know G2 has a big fucking reputation, etc. If you look at their squad, they're sort of doing shrewd Na'Vi-esque signings now, mate. They're not really buying they're not breaking the bank. They've already sold the Monacies. You know, as I'll point out with the heroic angle I always do, they sell the Monacies for millions. It doesn't look like they invest the millions again, mate. It looks like they, you know, do the smart signings, you know, the clever, they do Liverpool fucking signings. They don't do Man City signings. They don't do the biggest players. So the real issue there is that's the area there Simple's fucked up, in my opinion, is this idea that, like, essentially you can have it all. You can't. You have to pick. And this is what you pick. You either get paid the most money and you get to have all those things I just said, but you're not going to have a very good team around you. And you're going to actually, by the way, have to literally be the best player in the world. Or you can humble yourself, take less salary, understand that even when you walk in on another team, a bit like when you said you did this, when you joined FaZe, you're even going to have to join and sort of almost pretend like you're not going to be the best player and be like, I'm just here, hey, I'm not here to fuck your game up, Exertion or Yimfat. You know, I'm here to help you guys and just, you know, aid you guys to win a major. Even if it's not true, you just lie like that, right? And then maybe in 3 months you win the major. That's actually like possible, but it's not right now. Like on this team, yeah, I agree. Like I thought this was actually better than even happened. The joke is I bet against them every bloody game, mate. Why would I bet on them? Like there was no reason for them to win.
It's true. It's just to me it opens up, because I agree. Like I think you nailed it, but it opens up the conversation that fans can't comprehend. And I have a very clear opinion on that when it comes to football players and players as well. I don't mind a player going for the bank. I don't mind if simple as being offered like 3 times the salary in BC game compared to Mouse. Like if you do that, that's fair enough. You know, I'm not going to judge whether or not like you have enough money. And I hate when people are saying, doesn't he have enough money? Like, why is Ronaldo going to Saudi Arabia? Doesn't he have enough money? It's like, when is enough? Like, and how can you as a fan, how can we basically as fucking mere, you know, hobbits ever put ourselves in the shoes of Ronaldo? Like, what does it mean to have $1 billion? What does it mean to have...
By the way, Pimp, I don't even think Simple or Ronaldo do need the money. I think that to them, the money represents like respect. And it's like, right, you're telling me I'm the best. That's what I believe. That's why I think they're delusional, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. And I know it for myself. I think everyone knows it from themselves when they become more. Like whether you're working in a grocery shop, whether you work as a fucking broadcast talent, you work as more wants more, and that's just the natural habitat of what we do. Yes. Then of course at some point, like you ask yourself the question, okay, do I want to work, I don't know, you know, in the best fucking grocery store in the world where the benefits are the greatest and I get 9 months of paternity leave, you know, yada, yada, yada. Or do I want to take a slightly higher salary somewhere else where, you know, it's going to be miserable, but I get a lot of money, you know? And I hate when people are like, well, he has enough money or he should. And I like, that's not up for us to decide. Yeah. But I agree with what you're saying, that it's for us to then, you know, evaluate, okay, you probably went that way, you know, it's probably clear that this is your intention. This is what you chose, you know? And if you came out and say, well, listen, guys, I went for the big check. I think I can do great work in BC game. I think I can take them to the next level and I get paid a shit ton of money. I would respect that so fucking much if you just said that out loud. Whereas you could also say, well, I said no to a massive offer from BC game. I went to Mouse because I think we can win them. Just communicate whatever your intentions are so we don't have to speculate. And then the fans need to shut the fuck up about, you know, the whole argument that, well, doesn't he have enough money? Like, you don't know if he has enough money. You don't know his living conditions. You don't know what money means to him. You don't know the first thing about that player. And essentially, if you can't put yourself in his shoes because you're fucking awful at the game, don't pretend that you should be making the same decisions as he is, you know. And I hate when we do that with players, both whether that's in football or Counter-Strike. Where I will say this, though, I think what I would then, you know, construct from that decision is that maybe is that also simple, you know, saying that he also doesn't believe that he's getting back to his peak. Because if I'm simple, and I'm trying to put myself in his shoes now, if I'm simple and I'm as good as he is, if I believed I could get back to my peak in CS2, if I believed, you know, fully in myself that I can lock in for 12 months and I can become the best version of myself for 12 months, you would probably join a team where you feel that you could win stuff, because then that would all circle back, you know. You would then become ultra popular again. You would then have 40,000 viewers whenever you turned your stream. You would make endorsement deals again at the same degree as you did in CSGO. True. That would make you the same amount of money. Now, if I'm simple and I'm like, oh, I'm not quite sure, I don't really think so. I like to play Dota. I like to hang out in Dubai and fucking maybe I'm over this. Yeah, I'm choosing the money. I'm choosing the guaranteed paycheck that I get for what, 2-3 years in BC game, regardless of that. So is that not more of a sign of simple saying I'm not 100% sure I can get back? Whereas if he was 100% sure, if he really truly believed that he could become the best player again, or even a top three player, you don't have to be the best, just a top three player, he would probably go the other route, because then all the other things would follow as he's already experienced, as he's already been in that position before. So I think if anything, it's more so a sign for me that simple is not... He hasn't made up his mind. Like, he's not quite sure whether or not he can log in and become the same BC he used to be. And again, I don't blame him. If you grow tired of playing Counter-Strike 80 hours a week and you don't want to travel 200 days a year on the best team in the world, you get away with maybe 100 travel days with BC games, a couple of boot camps, but the same amount of money. Who the fuck am I to say you can't do that because you have a better talent? You know, if he's not able to convince himself that's the right thing to do, then he probably made the right decision for himself.
Also, people love to say when they're pros, We'll do anything to win. That is a literal lie. 99% of pros, it is not true. They all have one thing they won't. Like the Jokers, I could do the teams we've done now. Falcons won't just play a normal CS. They won't just sign a normal squad. The joke is, even though the squad now has better players, the actual roster they had before they got Monacy technically filled all the roles at least. Magus, Dexter, that was actually all the roles covered. Like, so, wait, the point is, you either play proper CS or you do what you're doing now, some other shit, and then you lose. Well, I can't blame me, mate. You did it. In the case of Mouse, oh, do anything to win. You won't sign a player that's a dickhead but who's really skilled at the game and win you the tournament. You want to do it with the power of friendship and everyone does their job and no one's the star and there's no egos here. Well, you know what, when you have no egos you're not gonna have many fucking trophies. I could go down the list, mate. The joke is, like, for all these squads, they all have something that holds them back in that regard. I tell you what though, the last team we should talk about, it's the obvious one since the playoffs are coming up, is, you know what, Pimp, I've skipped to the end of the script. I'm gonna ruin it. I'm going to give you a spoiler. Vitality wins the tournament, probably even quite easily in the finals. Iwu MVP. Then they'll have won the first tournament of the year. All of a sudden, all that Blast Bounty shit will be forgotten. They never had any problems. They're the best team again. Same as last year. And then on top of that, because Iwu's going to win the MVP, the talk will then be like, wait a minute, now he's won like a Krakow, Katowice, Cologne, and Major. It'll immediately will be right back to, and he's the greatest player of all time. It's indisputed. You're a marvel. All the classics, mate. It's all the old classics. It's fucking, you know, Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. Fucking, like, She Loves You by the Beatles. You know, fucking You Too, Beautiful Day. We all know all the classics. It's fucking, it's the classic FM. Get ready for the old song. Am I wrong? Am I wrong, Pimp?
You're not wrong about Vitality winning the tournament. No, you're not wrong about MVP being Saibu. But I hope you're wrong about people's fucking inability to detach those things from each other. Because okay. Yes, Vitality can be the best team in the world. And yes, we can forget about Blast Bounty. And yes, they can win, you know, Krakow. And again, I think if they do, I think we had the conversation earlier. Do I think Vitality is then the best team ever to play Counter-Strike? I'd say so.
It's a good combo.
The one argument Astralis had was, yes, they didn't necessarily were the best team in a calendar year. But over the period of 14 months, they were probably still better than Vitality has been over the period of 14 months. Yes. If Vitality goes on to win Krakow and let's say just one more tournament within the next couple of months, I think that one argument Astralis back in the day still had going for them goes out of the window. So that's Vitality being the best team ever. I'm willing to say that out loud if they do that, you know. So if anything, I think that's what they're playing for right now. That doesn't mean that Dunk is not a better Counter-Strike player than fucking Saibu. And if you can't detach those things, it's just your inability to be either, I guess, and that's, you know, fan thinking. I think you're lazy if you can't do that. I think you're just too lazy to think more than one or two sentences ahead and be like, oh, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that. Like already by now, you know, you had to use a bit of your brain power, a bit of your extra energy, you know, maybe you didn't have enough carbs, so your brain is not fueled enough, but fucking do the courtesy of if you have an opinion about who's the best player in the world, at least care enough to think about it, you know. And I think that's what I would like to see. I would love to see Vitality win the tournament. I would love to see Spirit versus Vitality in that grand final. I would love Vitality to win the grand final, and I would love to Dunk to be the best player on the server, because that would kind of set it all in
line. That would be spicy.
Where I think
if he's the MVP,
right,
that would be spicy as fuck, wouldn't it?
That'd be insane. But that's not going to happen, I think, because Saibu winning, etc. He's too good. And he has, in all fairness, he's been fantastic so far. Been playing at a high level. So at the end of the day, I want Dunk to be the best player in the grand final. I want a 5-map final between Vitality and Spirit. I don't mind Vitality winning, because that would also nail it. You know, I think they're the best team ever to play Counter-Strike. I like what Vitality is doing. I like the composition of the team. I like the way they conduct themselves. I like the way they don't have necessarily to peak at every single tournament. Again, it's not a team that is boot camping 24/7 to stay on top. You know, they kind of pick their fights, you know. They go to the HLTV award show. They have a bit of fun. Then they fuck up the Blast Bounty. They probably could have won it if they've taken it as serious as Krakow, but they didn't have to because they're the best team in the world. It kind of follows everything I believe in. But I just you saying it pisses me off, because I really, the more I think about it, you know, the more people I speak to as well, it's like, Saibu is fantastic, but he's not better than Dunk. Like, he's not right now a better individual player than Dunk. That doesn't mean it can't change over time if Dunk, you know, decreases a bit in level, or if Saibu finds another level. But as of right now, I think it's almost unfair, it's almost unjustice to say that Dunk is not the greatest single talented Counter-Strike individual that we've seen as of right now, you know. And I think for me, whether Vitality wins tournaments or not, that's not going to change that, especially not when Dunk and Spirit is still relevant. Maybe it would be a different conversation if they kept bombing out of group stages or didn't make any playoffs whatsoever. Then is Dunk really that good if he can't even carry them to the playoff? I think Saibu could, you know, another team, but we are not having that conversation. Spirit is still a team making the playoff. Maybe they're not winning everything because Vitality is a better team overall, but in terms of who's the best player in the world, Dunk, end of story. So I don't hope you're right about that last part.